You're listening to Intermezzo on 90.7 KRWG. I'm Leora Zeitlin, and we were listening to just a few minutes of the gorgeous second movement of the Triple Concerto by Beethoven, and that was with Itzhak Perlman, Yo-Yo Ma, and Daniel Barenboim, also leading from the piano the Berlin Philharmonic. It's my great pleasure to invite into our studios violinist Ruggero Alifranchini and cellist Edward Aaron, who will be joining Jeremy Denk tomorrow night at 7:30 and Sunday at 3 with the Las Cruces Symphony Orchestra under the direction of Lonnie Klein in a performance of the Triple Concerto. Welcome to you both.
Thank you very much.
Great to be here.
Wonderful to have you. So let's talk about this very interesting piece that it's gorgeous. It's got these heroic elements and aristocratic elements, and it is the only concerto Beethoven wrote for more than one instrument. And it's sometimes kind of, the orchestra part is sometimes dismissed a little bit as not being fully, that it's really a piano trio with sort of an orchestra supporting it underneath, as opposed to the dialogue, that the dialogue really is between the three solo instruments. I want to hear you now talk about what it's like to play it and your thoughts about this work.
You know, I feel like it harkens back to the Baroque concerto grosso idea, where you have multiple instruments, a chamber ensemble playing solo parts and then alternating with the orchestral tutti. But it is a unique piece. The excerpt that you just listened to is nothing short of sublime. It's Beethoven at his very greatest. This piece as a whole is one of the most genial pieces Beethoven ever wrote. It's a happy piece. It's fun. You're smiling the whole way through the piece. And yes, it's a dialogue, often humorous, between the three instruments and passing back and forth with the orchestra. But yes, it also has masterful Beethoven's orchestration behind it, you know. So.
And that was Edward Aaron and Ruggero Alifranchini. You want to weigh in on?
Well, it's quite remarkable how lucky we are to have, I mean, what a lot of people always thought for a long time is a minor piece compared to the other concertos. I mean, if you think about the violin concertos, incredible. Five piano concertos are just amazing. But the more you work, actually, I have to say personally, the first time I heard it when I was very little, I didn't think much of it until I heard the slow movement. And then slowly, I mean, the more I started playing it, the more I loved this piece more and more. I mean, every time I pick it up, I was like, wow, it's really an amazing piece.
And it's interesting because it's not tragic Beethoven.
Exactly.
Therefore, you don't apply to it this idea that it's this heavy, you know, the drama that we know of Beethoven. But it's brilliant, the dialogue, and, you know, just the characters in this piece are so great. And it's like a three-ring circus out there. I mean, you've got the piano over there and the violin over there and the cello in the middle and the orchestra and the conductor, and everybody is kind of communicating. It's actually, I think, a very interesting piece to watch in addition to listen to.
Yeah, it's like a chamber music on a grand scale. Mm-hmm. You know, it's quite remarkable.
Now, as I recall in the first movement, the cello opens the first theme.
The cello opens all three movements.
Yes. Yeah, so that was a little bit different for Beethoven's time.
Well, Beethoven deprived us cellists of a concerto for ourselves. And so this is the closest we get to having concerto of our own. And I think it's fair to say that the cello part is possibly the most challenging of the three parts. The cellist rarely plays on the lower two strings of the instrument. It's constantly playing in a slightly uncomfortable high register there, kind of the same register as the violin a lot of the time in the dialogue. And it's beautiful and elegant, but it's also a tightrope walk. You'll see me sweating up there.
Now, why do you think he isn't making use of those lower notes, which are unique to the cello?
It's a good question. I think he had at his disposal one of the great cellists of the time, Anton Kraft. And this guy was, by all accounts, an incredible virtuoso of the instrument. So I think he knew he could write that way. And I think it also just fits in a way, you know, the violin and the cello are very much interlocked in the dialogue, and there's a lot together there, and it's almost like, you know, a soprano and an alto singing together operatically or something like that, just to keep those registers close. And it's difficult, but it's beautiful. It makes perfect sense when you listen to the piece.
And now, the three of you, including Jeremy Dank, I know that you, Ed, have been playing with Jeremy, at least informally in New York, but the three of you, I think this is your first time all performing together.
Yes.
So what's that like to suddenly come in with your own ideas and be plugged together to perform a piece like this?
But as the chamber music world is a, you know, extended family, we all played together at different times. I played with Jeremy, you know, many occasions in different festivals. And I played with, you know, many different places. And so it feels very good, actually. It feels like coming home. And
it's as if we've been doing
forever.
This together for a long time.
Yeah.
And it's one of the great pleasures, too, is, you know, last week, the three of us were in completely different... In fact, we probably were on three different continents a week ago. And now here we are in Las Cruces, New Mexico, coming together, having a great time, exchanging ideas, inspiring each other in the moment. And we have a few days to really put our ideas together and make something special out of this. This is why we do what we do. It's such a pleasure. It can be lonely out there if you're the lone soloist in a concerto, but here the three of us get to really enjoy the camaraderie.
Yeah, it's great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So have you performed this before with others?
We all have performed it numerous times. Yes.
Does it feel different every time?
Absolutely.
Yeah, depending on who you're playing with.
Even with the same people that you played it with.
Yeah.
Also, because it's not like I only played it with, I have a piano trio that more or less, you know, we've been playing on and off for many years. Even that's changed since the first time when we do it. Actually, we're doing it again in San Jose next January or something. It's always great because people grow, people learn things, and it's fantastic.
Okay. Yeah, we evolve, we get wiser, and also, you know, the air, the acoustics, the chemistries, you know, things are it's a living organism, which is why live music is such a great thing. It's why we can devote our lives to it.
And do. Let's talk a little bit about other music that you both perform and play. I was reading, Ruggiero, that you grew up in a home with a very eclectic musical tastes, so jazz,
yes,
as well as classical.
Yes.
And I know you played for many years with the Borromeo String Quartet.
Right, I was a founding member.
And now you're playing with the St. Paul Chamber Orchestra,
yep,
as the concertmaster. And I know that, Ed, you direct the Metropolitan Museum of Art concert series, mm-hmm, and you've also played or do play in the Silk Road Ensemble.
Yes.
So, you know, we're talking about lots of different kinds of music, and that seems to me to be an interesting phenomenon right now in the musical history, that mm-hmm, people really cross all over.
Exactly. We're in, I think, this is sort of a new frontier. I think even a quarter of a century ago, musicians growing up had to define, they had to fit within a structure. Well, will I be an orchestral musician? Will I be an educator? Will I be a chamber musician? Will I be a soloist? And then they would very sort of narrowly pursue that path. And you mentioned Yo-Yo Ma. I think he's one of the great examples of somebody who has a range of interests, you know, a curiosity and the ability to sort of implement all of the things that he's interested in doing into, you know, real exchanges of ideas with people. Mm-hmm. And we know the orchestra industry is suffering right now. We know that, at least as a business model, classical music is in peril these days. But as an art form, it is as healthy as ever. It's growing, and it's up to people to have their ideas, share them, and turn them into something unique. And I think those of us who are really active, Jeremy, Ruggiero, myself, I think are all examples of people who really do pursue a lot of different interests and sort of dive in.
So I know you're doing Silk Road is certainly a very different kind of music. Ruggiero, do you play jazz also?
You know, my first instrument when I started when I was very, very young, 3 or 4, was actually the drums, drum set. Mm-hmm. And I played it, I did both for a while until I was about 15. I mean, actually, serious study. I can't quite do both anymore. Once in a while, you know, people are amazed, oh, plays drums, what? But it was kind of my father's a jazz player, and so I kept the classical part kind of separate to it, although I can mimic, you know, I can't really improvise with the violin like I would like.
Us in rehearsals,
I can fake my way through it.
Yes.
But yeah. It's, you know, I think if you mention somebody like Yo-Yo, it's the amazing part is he did everything at a super high level because his commitment was at 100% in everything he did. And partly is it should never be as a career move, but it should be fueled by your intellectual and musical curiosity. And I think for a lot of, you know, to do, not crossover, that's a horrible word, just music. It's just mm-hmm. different kinds of music. Mm-hmm. You know, when you start to put labels on what you do, I mean, then it's over.
Yes, that's why this is the
think
era.
Of contemporary, this, it's just a quartet or a trio or whatever it's written. It's if you do it because it's a natural development of your musical life, then it's great and it's done with the right reasons. It's not just so we can make a living, do many things. I mean, that's not the reason why anybody should be doing it.
Yeah, and it's an era of breaking free of these structures that confined the art form. So it's an exciting time if you think of it that way.
Yeah, so are you, Edward, I'm speaking with Edward Aaron and Ruggiero Alifranchini. Are you still in the Silk Road Ensemble?
I am not actively working with them, only because I've gotten busy. I, as you mentioned, curate a series at the Metropolitan Museum and a few others. And so I periodically parachute in to participate. And I do a lot of spin-off things, which is something that Yo-Yo really encouraged us all to do. I work with different musicians who I met along the way, so that's a self-generating thing. But the ensemble itself is traveling the world right now, and my close colleagues are doing it, and they sort of bring back great stories and things like that. That's my connection to it these days.
But you're, in a sense, you're doing similar things on your own.
Absolutely,
working with different
absolutely.
Kinds of music.
It's constantly spinning off and regenerating, thanks to Yo-Yo's vision. Actually,
So we only have about a minute left, I'm sorry to say, but do either of you have a very quick anecdote about an inspirational, I know you both studied with some wonderful musicians, teacher, an inspirational story about your teachers?
Well, I studied with Harvey Shapiro, a great cellist throughout the 20th century, basically. I studied with him at Juilliard, and since we're on the radio, this story is a good one. He was always very tough on his students. And one time I had been doing a radio show on WQXR radio in New York. And one time I ran into him on the street after I had stopped studying with him. And he said, "Hey, kid," he said, "I heard you on the radio." He said, "You sounded really good when you were talking." He put me in my place.
And one of the greatest, want to say, advice from Mr. Goldberg, Shimon Goldberg, was, always be interested more in the why than the how.
Uh-huh. Let's end it there. Thank you so much, Ruggiero Alifranchini and Edward Aaron. Have a great afternoon.